Welcome to the True Fitness Academy Podcast.
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 Your source for the truth in health and fitness. Now here are your podcast personal trainers, Fionn and Tyler.
Hello and welcome to the True Fitness Academy Podcast. I'm Fionn.
And I'm Tyler.
And today we're your spiritual personal trainers.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about the effects of spirituality on your health and wellness.
We will become one with the mind and the body.
The Zen, if you will.
To your yin and yang.
Wait, the Zen to your yin and yang?
I don't know. I'm just trying to say as many religious concepts as possible.
All right. So, if you guys don't know, Tyler and I are both Christians.
Yes. And I don't think we've hidden that in the concept.
No. So, with that, I mean, we're both practicing. It's not like, hey, we're Easter and Christmas Christians. Like, we practice. So, with that, we both think that there's a massive connection between how your mind, spirituality, and body all work together and your progress towards health and fitness goals.
Yes.
So, with that, I was doing a little EBSCOhost search, and in all honesty, there is very little research on the effects of religion, because you can't really gauge spirituality in scientific research. You can't really gauge that. But this came from an article that I was reading at T-Nation, which is a bodybuilding website, and they were interviewing this guy, Paul Cech. And Paul Cech is a pretty big name in the health and fitness industry. He's kind of one of those outlier guys. He pretty much says that a lot of really controversial things. He made the Swiss ball really popular. I like what he has to say for a lot of it. Really big fan of organics and whatever. But he is a holistic life practitioner. That's what his certification is. And so he believes that faith is a massive component to achieving health and fitness goals, and that you're drastically intertwined between your mind, your body, and your spirit. And so it's not just about it's not about racing to the coffin. There's a great quote. It says, when you die, you don't take your car with you, or your house, or your bank account full of money, or that collection of bodybuilding trophies you have in your garage. All you take with you is what you've become. Have you learned to love? Have you grown as a person, become more self-aware, a self-actualized person? And so on. And that, to me, is at the end of my life, yeah, I could be in a wheelchair, I could be wherever, but those are the important questions.
Yeah.
Regardless. So how does that relate to spirituality? Well, Prevention Magazine, they did a research study-ish, quote-unquote. It was more of a case study because they had three people who lost a lot of weight using church-based health groups.
Okay.
So the first woman, Kimberly.
Are they going to talk about these, like what their programs were?
No, they just go into their stories.
So, because I've heard of these programs before.
Right.
And a lot of them, I mean, as crazy as, I mean, they go from everything to just like a support group, i.e. like Weight Watchers, just, hey, we're a group of friends trying to lose weight together, which is great. Like we talked about last week with the Beachbody stuff, having a workout partner, having people that you are accountable to. A lot of churches will do that because they're an easy network.
Right.
But I've also gone to the extreme of, I mean, there's books about it. I know. I don't know the book off the top of my head. But literally it is, you pray before every meal that God will bless the food that you're eating and that it will not make you fat and whatnot. Like, there's extreme religious workout concepts, and then there's like the workout concepts with some religion also.
Right, right. And I think that's what these three women did. The first one, she lost 85 pounds, and she was at a Christian weight loss coaching program called Take Back Your Temple, and that's how she lost all of her weight. The second woman lost 56 pounds, and through a Christian health program called First Place at church. And it was a Bible-based plan focusing on improving all areas of life, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional. And then the last woman, Jackie, lost 100 pounds, let's see, through a Catholic plan called Lightweight. Lightway? Oh, that's funny.
Is it L-I-T?
No, it's light. It's light as in as light, but way as in like
you just,
how much you weigh.
Do you want to know that you just said light as in light and you flicked your hand?
I know I did that.
So
that was
no,
for you.
Okay.
That was
so
for
it's
you.
Light as in like
light the room.
And then way instead of W-A-Y, it's W-E-I-G-H-T.
Right.
Heck yeah, I just spelled out loud real fast. What up? Dyslexia. F you.
So all of these three women lost weight.
Yes.
And all of them were successful. But, I mean, and the thing was that all of them had an integrated approach. They all had spiritual counseling through their pastor. They all had physical counseling, emotional counseling. Because the physical counseling, like the personal training that people get, if there's no emotional counseling, it's going to slide back. And all these women lost it in appropriate amounts of time. Like, the first woman lost 85 pounds in a year and a half, and all of those things. But the things that I found interesting was the red flags. Because there's a lot of things that are good about these church-based programs, but from a scientific perspective, they can leave some things lacking.
So let's read the good things first.
Okay, good things. They emphasize overall wellness, which,
okay,
as everyone
mind,
knows,
body, everything.
We advocate that.
Uh-huh.
It sets realistic expectations, which, again, smart goals.
Sounds good.
Specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, time-based.
Which any personal trainer should be doing with you.
Right. And they offer a support network, which, as Ty was saying, super important.
I have not even read this, so that's quite obvious.
Right. The red flags.
Red flags.
Will be limits your food options. So, like the, I think it's the Ezekiel diet, where you're only eating raw foods, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, there's one, and I want to say it's the David diet.
Uh-huh.
Where it's literally all you eat is fruits, vegetables, and fish.
Right.
Because I guess that's all David ate.
Something like
I
that.
I read the Bible, but I couldn't
Didn't
tell
pay attention
you.
To
yeah,
what they
to the
ate.
Diet.
Yeah.
But
right.
Yeah, I guess it's the David diet or something. The Ezekiel could be it. But I know there's a diet based off of a person in the Bible that's literally just fruits, vegetables, and then the protein you get is fish.
Right. Absolutely. So if they give you something like that, that's just stupid. I mean, we've come so far scientifically that it's not even funny.
And well, what's interesting is David probably didn't eat all that.
Right.
Like, he probably ate way more than that. So.
Absolutely. Mandate supplements, which, I mean, that's just to me is stupid. Like, if you get into a program and they're like, you need to buy this, this, and this from us, blah, blah, blah. That's just.
Oh, is that what they said? Is that they make them have supplements?
Yeah, there's some faith-based programs that say, you need to buy this supplement through us so we can make money off of you, pretty much.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then they use fear as a motivation. It's the last negative. Like, you're committing a sin if you eat too much.
And that was going to be one of the things that I, when we Keon brought up this comment, like this
concept.
Topic, is that I was like, the only thing that would be remotely bad about this is that they do the fear, the you're sinning by not doing this, you're... You know, God is watching you, like, almost, I call it, like, religious terrorism.
Yes.
Where, Keon and I both being religious, there is an aspect of, you know, respect, I like to call it. A lot of people call it, like, the fear of God, but I respect God, so I don't want to do wrong.
Right.
It's not, but granted, at the same time, I do know in wrongdoings and whatnot, there's cause and effects and whatnot, but that's the story of life.
Right.
With anything. Minus
right.
God.
If I mean,
you don't believe in God at all, everything has a cause and effect.
It's the second law of thermodynamics?
I believe so.
Every action is equal and opposite? Yeah.
So, that's kind of the one aspect that I foresaw coming right off the bat, was
right.
that they were going to use fear and kind of just that, the fear of God
right.
concept.
And from a purely physiological point of view, just cutting back to the point of why this is important, I mean, your muscles are controlled by your mind. Your mind and your spirit, regardless of your beliefs, are intertwined.
Yes.
That's just a fact. Because without your mind, you can't think. Without your spirit, you won't feel. that's simplified.
And that's not even, like, religious.
Right.
Like, just your spirit, you can be anywhere from atheist to Buddhist to
Christian,
left-wing, Nazi...
Right-wing, yeah. Whatever.
Terrorist person.
And so having those things intertwined, your mind controls your muscles. If your mind isn't firing right, your muscles aren't going to respond correctly. If you're not sending out the right hormones, your muscles aren't going to respond correctly. So having this mental aspect and having a psychological, emotional, spiritual aspect is massively important. If you don't have that in your life, I highly suggest you start searching. And I mean, from our perspective, I mean, we are both are Christians, and that's what we recommend. That's what we where we found our solace, and that's where we found all of that. But both of us have come to it through different paths.
Oh, extremely different paths, and that's a different podcast.
Right, that's a different podcast for a different day. But, okay, so that being said, massively important to have spirituality in yes. your health program. So if you're doing yoga, Tai Chi.
And almost, I mean, there's an aspect of it to where boxing almost becomes spiritual to me.
Huh.
Where I kind of glaze over and just zone out, and it just, I become one with my actions and whatnot. A lot of fighters talk about like this warrior spirit
mm-hmm.
and just becoming one with things, and a lot of karate and the martial arts is about that. So it wouldn't surprise me if lifting, you know, and putting your body to the max is some, like partially spiritual for, you know, the bodybuilders of the world.
Right.
I don't know, and this is going to be a quick little jab at the bodybuilders, if they're smart enough to put two and two together, that it is remotely spiritual to them.
Right.
But it is a spiritual concept.
Absolutely. And I think Tyler has a quotation to go along with this. But leading into the idea, because being from a Christian background and being in the health and fitness industry in California, sometimes I get flack because people believe that I just believe in beauty above all else, regardless of mental health. And that's just false.
Huh.
I mean, I've got it from friends who are like, your health and wellness, blah, blah, blah. So, but your mind and your body, it works the opposite way. If your body isn't right, your mind will never get to that point. Because your mind controls your body controls your mind. They're a reciprocal thing. They're intertwined
yeah.
just as much as
you can't have one without the other.
Absolutely. So, we're going to read?
Basically, so often I find that, quote-unquote, the religious zealous nutcases, as I like to call them, tend to not care about their body so much.
Absolutely. They say, I'm in love with God, and that's all that matters, and I'm going to go eat a hamburger at McDonald's so I can give away my money.
Yeah, and it's
that
just,
I saved.
It's an interesting concept that a lot of people, I feel, don't care about their body. I'm not saying that you need to have a six-pack once again and you need to be able to run a marathon and whatnot, but there is a health concept to it and a respect of your body. And so often I find that people don't take the body, like Keon was saying, into account. And I just pulled because being Christian, reading the Bible, whatnot, I figured I might as well do some kind of spiritual concept to this that's biblical.
Right.
1 Corinthians 6:19. And I mean, if you're not religious, whatnot, like,
who cares?
Who cares? This is just kind of a good thing to think about in general.
Right.
Basically, it says, let's go with, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. So, think about that if you're religious. If you're religious.
Listen,
no, I was okay. The religious concept of it is, you know, your God. Like, you're God's creation. So,
right.
You should treat your body as if, it's kind of that concept of, if you borrow something, you bring it back better, or if not, just as good as it was when you got it.
Right.
And that's kind of what I feel like this verse is saying about your body, is
uh-huh.
treat it good, bring it back better than the way you got it, and whatnot, because it's God's body. Let's say you don't believe about God. Then let's just talk about the first part of it. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Let's get rid of the Holy and just the Spirit. That's where you hang out. That's
right.
Where you, the spirit of you, your inside, your knowledge, everything, that's its shell.
Right. I was at church and there was this Irish guy speaking. He's like, your body is, or he's talking about himself. He's like, my body is where I happen. I can't happen anywhere else but here.
That's
period.
Yeah, and it's complete sense. And so in that, you, it's kind of that thing of when you see a crappy car driving down the street, you're like, wow, that person doesn't care.
Right.
That, I mean, that's, but then you see, you know, the Ferrari going, you're like, wow, that person did something right.
Right.
They've been doing something good.
Right.
Yes, it's an image, it's a whatnot, but the Ferrari lasts a lot longer than the clunker.
Absolutely. As long as you,
long as you treat it right.
Right.
Being healthy. It's easy, 1, 2, 3 math.
Right. Going along with the car analogy, though, a lot of people get this mixed up. They're like, oh, just like a car, I just have to change my oil every so often. And that is, again, a load of crap. You don't have to change your oil every so often. You need to change your oil every single day. You need to be on top of it every single day.
Let's just say, okay, let's just say you change your oil once a month. Let's just go with that.
Right.
Do you ever wash your car? Do you ever put engine fluid in? Do you ever get a tune-up? Do you ever... There's 100 things you can do to that car.
Right.
So, yes, just... Do you need to change, quote-unquote, the oil every day? No. But you need to do something to your car every day.
Absolutely.
If you don't drive your car every day, it will not work.
Right.
Here's a fun thing. Don't drive your car for a month and see if it works.
Right.
Let's just see.
It'll probably start, just not well.
Yeah, you will notice a giant difference. Hey, guess what? If you don't work out for a month, guess what you'll notice?
A giant difference.
A giant difference. Absolutely. Oh, wow. It's a great concept.
Absolutely. So getting back to this idea that you were kind of mentioning too, of the religious zealots who don't allow themselves to have any pleasure in their body, which can be taken, I mean, I understand that comment is loaded with sexual and physical tension. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I feel like they're also depriving themselves of that. But that's neither here nor there. But having a fit body is a pleasurable thing.
Oh, yeah.
Hands down. I love the fact that I can go to the beach and feel comfortable.
You can feel comfortable. You can do more activities.
You can do more activities.
Let's go about this. If you are in shape,
uh-huh.
I like using healthy. Let's just say healthy. If you're a healthier person and you are religious, a lot of religious people might worship God through dance.
Sure.
Might worship God through different types of activities.
Right.
Of, you know, working at a homeless shelter, worship singing, this, that, and the other, you know, lots of things. If you are healthier, you aren't going to get tired as fast.
Right.
Thus, being able to worship God more. Insert whatever you want to worship, but, you know, you can do it more without having to take a nap.
Right.
Without having to stop and get a breather.
Well, let's take it to the missionary field. You can get on an airplane and not be uncomfortable. You can walk the 10 miles to the village that needs the supplies. I mean, being in a healthy body allows you to do the things that you are called to do in this life that are for your spirituality. So, yeah. Or religion or faith or what you're called to do, whatever that is. Your body is now able to complete the task. So taking care of both mind and body, it's so interconnected and so just weaved together. You need to just seriously take care of both those aspects. Start going to meditation classes, whatever it happens to be.
Whatever tickles your fancy.
Start it. And yeah, it can be difficult starting something new. Get over it. You started working out, didn't you?
Yeah.
Haven't you? And that's just as difficult.
I'm not saying that tomorrow you have to go, or on Sunday you have to go to church.
Right.
I'm just saying find what works out for you in almost a working out your mind.
Absolutely.
In a working out your spiritual concepts.
Hell, go grab a Tony Robbins tape and get some motivation that way.
I mean, right now, it's religious to some extent. I'm reading this book called On the Warrior Path. It basically goes through how different types of warriors through history have gotten their thing. And it's quite religious. It talks about Buddhism and Christianity and all these different types of religions and how they react in a violent sense and how they agree and disagree with violence and warriorism and stuff like that.
Hell, if you look at some of the greatest people in the history of the world, 99% have founded themselves in spirituality. Across the globe, regardless.
Except Seth MacFarlane.
Who?
Seth Mac- the Family Guy.
Family Guy. But I'm talking like, I'm talking like real, like people who have actually made a difference instead of made a comedy show that is kind of funny. Anyway, highly encourage you to start seeking out your spirituality. Start really, don't just say, oh yeah, I'm going to do that. Start taking massive action. We don't want people sitting on their laurels and just saying, yeah, yeah, I'll get to it eventually. You're going to fail and you're gonna lose at life.
It's the same concept with working out. You're going to fail concept. And lose at life if you don't do it.
Absolutely. So go check out local stuff around you. Get involved. Finally accept that invitation that your friend's been giving you. Whatever it is, start really addressing your spirituality.
And just on a political correctness
note.
We're not saying that you need to do what we do.
Right. You can go into...
Find whatever tickles your fancy. We found ours in Christianity.
Right.
That's all I'm going to say. This isn't some holy hour fitness podcast now.
No.
We're just saying that that's what we found it in. You can find it in whatever you find it in.
Absolutely. Like Muslims, Buddhists, you know, Judaism, whatever it happens to be.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Not Judaism.
You're such a
I had to offend some kind of group.
Right, sure. Okay, good. I'm glad
so
you
I
did.
So I picked Judaism.
The people who have been picked on the most in all of history, you picked them, didn't you?
Yeah, it was an easy target.
Holocaust, man. Come on, let's think before we act. So we'll get back to you on Monday. Coming at you with a great week.
And I'll leave you with the Santa Maria.
The Santa Maria. All right, enjoy your weekend and take some time for yourself. We'll talk to you Monday. Peace. I'm a nice one, I'm greasing his pillow. Oh, my name he don't want to know. No.